Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message entitled The Birth of a King. We're going to look ahead to this week's message titled The Beginning of Jesus' Ministry. And we're going to take a look at a podcast that I just heard this week about spiritual growth and the implications for us today. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, in last week's message titled The Birth of the King, we looked at three primary things. The first was that the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this pulls from this key verse in John 1, 1 through 5. The Word, or the Greek word, was logos. And it's a divine expression. It is essentially saying that Jesus was a divine expression of God. He was and is God. And this was a very profound statement by John. See, John's gospel is a little different than the other three gospels, which are considered to be synoptic gospels or in synchronous with one another. John's gospel takes things from a different perspective and says that he was going to show us who God was or who Jesus was and the fact that he was, in fact, God. Well, the second point we looked at was the Word, or God, is revealed in Jesus. And again, we look at John chapter 1 for this, and this incredible notion that he is that expression of God. And finally, we looked at Jesus was born as an ordinary man, although with an extraordinary task, and God himself. In the sense of his earthly life up to his ministry, he was a very ordinary guy, and he was born to ordinary people, who, while being ordinary, Mary and Joseph, were very much believers in God. And the final thing, the fourth thing, was that the Word was turned away by man. And so our challenge was to look at our lives, and are we, in fact, turning away God? Are we crowding him out? Just like Jesus, when he was first born, was crowded out by the innkeeper. He spent the rest of his life being crowded out by the religiousness of the day, by many people. But on top of this, he was turned away by the world. Think about that. The very person, Jesus, who was at the beginning and created the world, was turned away by that. Well, our takeaway was very simple. Is that even if we have crowded Jesus out of our lives, it's not too late. And I challenged everyone to look for areas in their life where Jesus is being crowded out and invite him back in. This week, we're going to look at three specific things about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You know, he lived a very ordinary life for around 30 years. And then it was his time to take his ministry to the world. The first thing that we're going to take a look at is Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. John was considered the forerunner, the one that would go on ahead of Jesus and prepare the way for the Lord. And John was giving this message of repentance, turn from your sinful ways and return back to the Lord and be baptized to show this happened. What's interesting is that Jesus then comes to John and says, you are going to baptize me. And of course, John would have been thinking, no, this isn't supposed to be. You're God. This is a repentance baptism, and you are sinless. You've never sinned. But he does recant because Jesus tells John that them working together is in fact part of God's will. It's a part of God's big story that's working out his reconciliation that would come through Jesus' ministry, life, death, and resurrection. And so John recants and does, in fact, baptize him. The second thing that we'll see is that Jesus' temptation. Jesus went through a temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 that happened right after this baptism. And there's much to see in this temptation, but here are some key takeaways. Jesus was tempted for his physical needs, for his possession and power, and for pride. But Jesus turned him away. He turned him away by responding with God's word, by knowing God's word and by trusting in God. And we too can identify with this because Jesus was tempted. Although he didn't sin, he gives us a model for how we are to respond. The third thing we're going to look at is Jesus' opposition and how this primarily came from the very religious leaders who should have known better, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And in the story we're going to look at, the account in Luke chapter 6, is when Jesus is healing on the Sabbath, something that infuriated the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they said, "You're breaking the law." And Jesus, though, stood his ground and held true to the message and the promise that he was bringing, because after all, he was God. Well, you know, not everybody was in opposition to him, not all the Pharisees and Sadducees. In fact, one that specifically we hear about in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who was nervous and scared, so he went to Jesus at night when others wouldn't see him. And in this account in John chapter 3, we end up at the most famous verse that's probably known by many, and it's John 3:16, where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." And he talked to Nicodemus about being born again, and Nicodemus was confused in this. He didn't understand how he could possibly be born again, but of course, Jesus wasn't talking about an earthly rebirth. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. And we're also going to look at how Nicodemus had a choice. How would he respond? And we too have that same response. Well, with my time remaining, I wanted to share something with you that I just listen to this week. I listen to many podcasts, and it's fun to do. It helps me stay connected to other people, helps me learn new things and see things from a different perspective. And here's the fact that I walk away with every single time. Man, there sure are some really smart people in this world, and many that are far beyond my intelligence. One such podcast that I listen to on a regular basis is the Disciple Makers podcast. And many times, multiple times a week, they release an episode that is usually a recording of a presentation or some other speaker sharing something about the disciple-making process. And I just find this very fascinating, and it's very helpful. But this week, I learned about one, and I listened to it, and really the essence of it was this, was taking serious next steps about personal spiritual disciplines. And this person was extremely passionate, extremely gifted in communicating, and they shared a lot of really good stuff, including several books that I'm going to start reading, and it really challenged me and encouraged my heart. So I wanted to share just a little bit of it with you. I will link to the full episode so you can go back and listen at another time. I consider this very well worth it. But I want to start with this, is they talked about some factors in spiritual growth, And really the thing he started with first was this: foundations are critical. The foundations are so critical. Here was the key point: solid foundations in our heart, including close, intimate relationship with Jesus, is essential to any kind of spiritual growth. And at first you might think, well, duh, Pastor, this should be pretty easy to see. A solid foundation and a close personal relationship with Jesus is absolutely essential to spiritual growth. And I would agree with you. It should be obvious. But the problem is that it's not always our top priority. In fact, the speaker went on to say the very first point that he gave, and this is where I'm going to camp for just a little bit, is we must develop a singular focused priority. Here it is. Seeking Jesus every day with all of our hearts is of the utmost importance. And, you know, again, thinking about this, it makes sense, right? Because Jesus said the most important commandment, the most number one commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is so true. And Jesus, as we just talked about earlier in this podcast, it was the physical manifestation of the Word of God in flesh. And see, Jesus is the one that makes it possible for us to come to the Father in relationship. In fact, in John chapter 15, Jesus, when teaching his disciples, says, "You must remain in me." So it's no surprise then when we hear that perhaps the idea, number one, is that in order to have a strong essence of spiritual growth, we must develop a singular focused priority, and we must be seeking Jesus every day with all of our hearts. And so the passage that the pastor shared was from Luke chapter 10. And I had heard this account before, but I hadn't quite looked at it in the same way. So I hope that this is an encouragement to you. In Luke 10, starting in verse 38, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me.'" Now let's stop there for a second. An interesting comment made by a commentator shows that this is probably a rather large group of people that are gathering at Martha's house. And Martha is maybe the queen of hospitality. She wants everything to be just so. But Mary, is said, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha calls out to Jesus and said, "What is my sister doing? Tell her she is to help me." So then in 41, it says this, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and that it will not be taken away from her." In those last two verses, we see how it says, "Martha, Martha." Now, in the ancient Greek, whenever something was repeated, it was meant to draw attention to it because it was important. And so Jesus was saying, "Martha, Martha, catch this. Don't take away what Mary is craving." Mary is recognizing that Jesus is right in front of her, the very God of all creation, Jesus. The essence of salvation is in front of her, and she is going to stay close to that. Well, wouldn't it be life-changing if you and I had that same spiritual fervor, where we had a singular priority in our life, where the singular priority was this, is that we longed to spend time with Jesus. See, we just talked about how this week we're going to be looking at Grace Community Church, we're going to be looking at Jesus' ministry. And we realized that it was very important ministry. But just before that, we talked about how Jesus was kept at arm's length by the religious leaders, and many people shut him out. And sadly, today, we do the same thing. Sure, we may go to church on Sunday. Sure, we may read the Bible occasionally, but are we really desiring to be with Jesus and nothing else? Do we really have that same passion that we're trying to sit at the feet of Jesus? Well, I hope this challenges you today, and I hope that you follow up listening to me talk about this and go listen to the entire podcast and really rethink, what is my spiritual growth life like? In the new year, one of the series I'm going to do is centered around discipleship and spiritual growth, and we're going to just dive right in. Now, I'm not sure exactly what direction I'm going to go and exactly what it's going to cover, but I can guarantee you this, that it's going to include that idea of having a singular priority in our life, which is to spend time at the feet of Jesus. Let us desire to know him more every single day, and let that permeate our souls, and let that overflow out of our lives and affect those around us. Well, I hope this message has challenged you to consider your spiritual growth life, and are you really taking it seriously? And what is the number one priority? Is it, in fact, sitting at the feet of Jesus and soaking in everything you can? Or are we just a little bit too busy? Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor at Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.